Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this blessed privilege that we have to assemble to worship. We're thankful, Father, for the sweet hour of prayer when we can together as a body lift up our praise and petition unto Thee. And we pray, Father, that You would hear our prayers for Christ's sake. We do seek Thy face, Heavenly Father, and we know that it is only by the gift of Thy Holy Spirit that we'll be able to see Thee. So, Father, we pray that He would come and just separate us from all the cares of this life, from anything that might hinder, and just help us for a time, Father, to sit together in heavenly places. We remember those that are not able to be with us this day, those who are sick and afflicted, and those who are confined to their homes or nursing homes or wherever they might be. We just pray, Father, that You'd be very real to each one, that You would bless for Thy name's sake. Just now, Father, we pray a special measure of grace as we'd study Thy Word. We pray that You would reveal Your will to us, and Father, apply these things to our lives that we might walk closer to Thee in days to come. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention this morning to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17, and I want to read the first five verses to begin our study this morning. And this concerns what to me is probably the most fascinating of the Old Testament prophets, Elijah. And he is was a very remarkable individual. He is mentioned more in the New Testament than any other of the prophets. So there's a great number of lessons for us in studying this particular individual. And I pray that the Lord would lead us, that we might find some practical lessons for our own lives in the example of this great prophet. 1 Kings chapter 17, and beginning at verse 1, God's Word said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Now, I want us to, first of all, consider our salvation. Now, I know that seems disconnected with the passage of Scripture that I've read, but that's something that ought to be foremost in our minds. A lot of people talk about salvation as a one-time event, something that happened, I got saved. And well, that's all right, I guess. But the Scripture portrays our salvation that is something that is ongoing. There was a time, certainly, that we were born of the Holy Spirit, and I would call that salvation. But there are many deliverances in our life ongoing. But you don't hear too much about the purpose in which we were saved. People rejoice in the fact, I've got assurance that I'm going to heaven. And we look forward to that time. But we're still here. What is God's purpose in saving us? Well, it's not because God just saw something so good in you that He wanted you to be in heaven. I can assure you of that. It's not because He was lonesome and needed somebody to keep Him company or anything like that. The bottom line is, what God does, He does for His own glory. And I'm not going to turn and read, but Ephesians chapter 1 especially talks about our being chosen in Christ, predestined to be conformed to the adoption of children and all those things. But it was for God's own glory. He works according to His own will and purpose. So He has saved us that we might glorify Him. it is about Him more than it's about us. We fall in the trap sometimes of focusing on us more than on Him. So we are here to be witnesses of God's grace. And I'll confess that in the very beginning that I fall short so many times. I really consider myself as a failure when it comes to being a witness of God's grace. But nevertheless, I'm trying. And I want to be growing in God's grace, and I want to be a better witness. So, how can I do that? Well, God's given us many examples in Scripture, many patterns for our life. And in studying the life of Elijah, I believe we can draw some lessons that will be valuable for us. So I just pray that the Lord would bless us to learn. Now, if you study the life of Elijah and think about all the events of his life, it's very easy to think, well, this is some kind of superhuman being. I mean, just think about this man that we see here. He had the courage to stand before this king who, it would appear, had the power of life and death over him. Ahab was married to Jezebel, and she had already been putting to death the prophets of Jehovah. And yet he had the courage to stand and proclaim God's Word. Miracles were performed by the hand of Elijah. You know, he went to the widow's house, and she was blessed that her barrel of meal continued on through this drought, and her oil continued. Her son died, and through the intercession of Elijah, he was brought back to life. He challenged the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. 850 prophets there in that one place. One man. And remember that Elijah thought that he was the only one left that was serving God. So he had that courage to stand alone. And finally, he didn't face death, but he was carried bodily into heaven. And then, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he appeared there with Jesus Christ. He and Moses talked with Jesus Christ. What a remarkable man he was. But I want you to look at what James says concerning him. In the book of James, the 5th chapter, and verses 17 and 18. James chapter 5, verse 17, and this is the New Testament form of the name Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. James says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That simply means he was a flesh and blood man subject to fear and doubt and all those emotions that we feel. Now, he was subject to those things, but by the grace of God, he was able to overcome them and stand as a faithful witness of God's grace. So, let's try to find some lessons that will enable us to overcome those like passions that we have. First of all, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 2, it said, "The word of the Lord came unto him." Now, this was after he had spoken to Ahab. We don't have any word concerning Elijah before that, so I'm just going to assume that God told him to go and speak to Ahab. But he went and gave that declaration that it's not going to rain, there's not going to be any dew. God's going to shut off all the moisture. And notice that he says there should be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, Elijah could have said, you know, I'm just a messenger. I'm just telling you what God said. But he said, according to my word. So he identified himself personally with the will of God. He said, now, this is God's will, but I'm putting myself on the line. And so, I'm assuming that it was by God's direction. But after he had made that direction, verse 2 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him. Now, I can assure you that if you're a child of God, the word of the Lord is going to come to you. The Lord speaks through His written word. He speaks through the preached word. And He speaks through the impression of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and minds. And God's going to communicate Himself in one way, and we're blessed that in all these ways He's speaking to us. So the first principle that we need to remember is listen. The Word of the Lord is coming to you, and you be sensitive to that. Be able to identify God's Word. When the Holy Spirit is making that impression on your heart, first of all, be able to identify it and then be sensitive to it. You know, I'm going to have to look at my own example, but I'm afraid it's true of all of us. We pray that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit, and according to the Word of God, when we pray in faith, God answers our prayer, and I believe the Holy Spirit is coming. But I fear we're not listening to it. You know, we hear what we want to hear, and then we just leave the rest of it. I don't like to be negative in preaching, but you know, sometimes that's just what is required. And as you know, I'm blessed and I'm privileged to visit churches, other places, and have the opportunity to preach to people in other places. But here and other places, I hear the conversation of folks when they come in the church. And I hear the conversations when they go out of the church. And it's usually the same thing. We come in talking about everyday matters of life. We talk about our children, our grandchildren. Too often it's about sports and all entertainment and all those other things. We sit for 30 minutes and hear God's Word, and we leave talking about the same things that we talked about before. Now, understand that a social relationship in God's children is a good thing. It's good that we talk about mutual interest. We talk about what's going on in our life. But is there not time to talk about God and His Word and the preaching of the gospel? Shouldn't we take those thoughts with us a little longer than the door? And the Holy Spirit, I believe, speaks to us, and we simply do not listen. The Word of the Lord came to Elijah, and notice what the Lord says, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward." You ever need to turn? Turn in your course of life, or turn in your course of thinking? Well, that's what God is going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Many times He's going to tell you to turn yourself, get thee hence, get away from here. Now, remember that Elijah stood before a hostile king, and that king wants to kill him. And God, when God says, get away, well, maybe it's for his protection, but God is able to protect him. God protected him when he gave that message to the king. What kept Ahab from having him put to death at that moment? God. So God could have protected him even there in the presence of the king. But God said, I've got a place for you. You go there. You turn. And you go to this place and hide thyself. Now there's another principle. We need to hide ourselves. As I've already said, this is about God and serving Him and giving witness. So we need to hide myself. You know, in one sense of the word, as a preacher of the gospel, it's pretty hard to hide myself. Now, how are you going to hear me? And you know, I could get down here and literally hide myself. You wouldn't be able to hear quite as well. It'd be difficult to communicate quite as well. I'm not talking about hiding myself physically from you, but it's hiding my will and my desires and all those things that are about the flesh, and hiding behind the cross of Jesus Christ, lifting Him up in praise and adoration, and declaring the Word of Jesus Christ. So I hide myself and conform myself to the will of God. In the Gospel of Luke, I want you to notice the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, and beginning at verse 23. Again, Luke chapter 9, and beginning at verse 23. And He said unto them all, and notice that word all, He said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? So, what Jesus is saying there is we've got to lose the self life and live the life of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that He says that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. On another occasion, Jesus said, take up the cross. So He commands all of us to take up the way of the cross, to follow Jesus as a disciple. But when He says, let him take up his cross, I'm to take up my personal cross every day. And that cross is what we must suffer and what we must endure for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard it said of, for instance, a godly woman that has an unbelieving husband, and somebody would say, well, that's her cross. No, that's not her cross. That's her duty and responsibility as a wife. Her cross would be what she would have to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. And there's a difference. So we must each take up our own personal cross. We must hide ourselves in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, He says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now, that, as I understand it, that name Cherith literally means a cut or a cutting off. So it is a separation. God's children have to be separated from the things of this world. As Paul wrote the Romans chapter 12, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I better turn and read it. I can't quote it exactly right. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Cut yourself off from the world, the things of this life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, that's what Elijah's doing here. Committing himself to the service of God, regardless of the dangers, regardless of the hardships. He's cutting off from the world. And the Lord told him that it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now, we know as we read on through this chapter, that brook is going to dry up. I just imagine that every day Elijah could go to that little stream and see that the water is a little less and a little less and a little less. And in that, he's learning to trust God and His provision. The natural mindset would say, this brook's going to dry up, so I better start looking for another source. Faith says, trust God. And just be assured, if that stream does dry up, God has got another place for you. And also he says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, here is a miracle that's going to take place. Here's a land that is it's beginning to suffer a famine. And food's going to be very scarce. And here's a man out in the wilderness, and God is going to send the ravens to feed them. They're going to bring him meat and bread. Where do you suppose they got that meat and bread? I don't know. But God directed them to feed Elijah. Now, I can't explain everything about this. God is feeding him in a miraculous way. And yet he's drinking of the water that's just a natural stream. God could have miraculously made that water continue and he'd have a constant supply of water. He didn't use a miracle there, but he used the miracle over here. And I believe that tells us God's not restricted to any particular way of working. He can work in our normal, everyday circumstance without any kind of miracle and provide for us. And when it is right in His sight, when it is needful, He can cause miracles to happen in our life. We just learn to trust God and trust God's ways. Now, I want you to look at this passage again. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4. He said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And that's the only place that God commanded the ravens to feed him. Wherever else he went, he could not depend on God's supply. God blesses and God supplies in the way of obedience. And nowhere else. And if we're not enjoying God's blessings, if we don't think God is supplying our needs, then we need to look at where we are. It was there in the way of obedience, just where God commanded him, that he could depend on the blessings. And there, where God sent him, God provided. And he stayed there until the brook dried up, but he stayed there till God told him to go somewhere else. I don't know how long he stayed there, but I would not be surprised if that brook wasn't dry for a while. And he remained until God said, now, you go somewhere else. And 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 5 says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelled by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So he obeyed God. He experienced the power of God in his life. He saw a miracle of God when he went where God said and did what God said. Now, I want to close our thoughts this morning by looking at another Old Testament character, Gideon, who was a deliverer of God's children. In the book of Judges, the 6th chapter. Judges chapter 6 and beginning at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, let me pause there for just a minute. I don't want to read too much into the scripture, but that angel appeared to Gideon and addressed him as a mighty man of valor. And that would indicate to me that he had probably fought his enemies before. He had probably had a great deal of success. He was probably very strong physically, a very able warrior. And he was still oppressed by the Midianites. He was still having to hide. He was still under their dominion. He'd gone, perhaps, in his own strength, and maybe had some success, but he's still not delivered. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. So he had heard of the miracles of God, and that was just ancient history to him. He had not experienced God's might and God's work in his life. And he said, if the Lord's with us, why has all this happened? Well, you can read on just a little bit farther and you find out that they're idol worshippers. You find out that his own father maintained an altar to a false god. Now, idolatry in Israel, sometimes Israel worshiped Baal and all these other false gods, and sometimes they thought they were worshiping Jehovah, and yet they'd make an image to represent him. So even though they, in their mind, was worshiping the true God, they were worshiping in the wrong way. And I think that was the case of Gideon. Their worship was all wrong, and they weren't experiencing God's power in their life. And that's why they didn't see the miracles. Now, verse 14, And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So the Lord said, Go in this thy might. What was his might? Well, the Lord said, Have not I sent thee? There's where the power is, to go where the Lord sends. Do what the Lord says, and you can be assured that the Lord's power is going to be with you in that. You know, I can say with a fair amount of assurance that the Lord's not going to put us in a position that He put Elijah in. And we're not going to probably accomplish things that Elijah accomplished. And we're probably not going to perform miracles. I don't expect that. But God has called us to be faithful, just as He called Elijah to be faithful. And He calls us to serve where He sends us, just like He called Elijah to serve where He sent him. He may send to different places, but all these principles are the same. We have to hide ourselves. We have to cut off ourselves from the things of this world. We have to trust God's provision. We have to go where God says go. And then, and only then, we'll begin to experience the great blessings that God has for His people. And then we can be faithful witnesses of His grace in our life. And I pray the Lord will encourage us, the Lord will teach us to follow the example of Scripture, that we'll be obedient to Him for His glory. And then when we glorify Him, we'll be blessed in that. So I pray for God's sake that we'll be able to glorify Him.